Know that this is known as the chapter of faith or the hall of faith. And as it is commonly known, let us keep our Bibles open this morning, as I'm going to refer back to the text quite often, and you might want to follow along as I preach. But let's read it together from verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And then as we read the story, it goes on from one hero to the next of stories of faith. And then we're going to pick it up again from verse 13, if you want to skip down to there. Verse 13 sums it up. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We're just going to read that far. The author of this chapter really tries to encourage us with more faithful stories as you read on, all the way into chapter 12. And if you pay close attention, it's kind of a build-up. It starts with Abel and then builds all the way to Christ. And so this morning, let's go on this journey of faith together and pick up some very crucial life lessons from their lifestyles. The first thing I want us to do this morning, and if you follow me on Facebook, you would notice for the last 2 weeks I've been asking these questions. I asked on Facebook, what is your definition of faith? And here are some of the responses. Faith is an inward truth and trust that when acted on delivers outward hope. Faith is a trust in God that needs to be fed by the Word of God to grow. Faith is believing even when it seems impossible. Faith is where we start the journey of believing in God and that He loves us despite our weaknesses and our sins. Faith is where we continue to trust and follow God with an obedient heart to live a beautiful life on earth. And then the last response, faith is where we trust God to lead us to places He speaks of like heaven, where we will experience eternal joy, freedom, love, and peace. And some of those responses were quite interesting, but some of them were completely accurate, and I want to focus on some of them this morning. One statement was very similar to Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, where the person said, faith is defined as an unshakable confidence in the reality of heaven and the certainty of God's unfulfilled promises. I like that. But I think the definition found in Hebrews 11:1 this morning really brings it home for me. And it could be summed up or summarized as follows. Faith is the absolute confidence in God and His promises. A good definition, I believe, of faith is the absolute confidence in God and His promises. And so if that is a good definition, do we have any tangible examples of what that kind of faith looks like? I'll ask the question again. Do we have any tangible examples of what that kind of faith looks like? A bit louder would be great. Yes. All right, fantastic. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. No, I'm joking. But, friends, I would highly encourage you to do this. Go and read Hebrews 11 and then study every single man and woman of faith mentioned there. Go back to the Old Testament and go read those stories. And you'll pick up a few things when you do that. One, you would be very, very, very encouraged to see that there are indeed faithful men and women out there. But you'll pick up that some of them had a bit of a rough time. Yes, they were faithful, But Hebrews 11:4 refers to Abel. Remember him? Remember Abel? Cain and Abel? You got that. Okay. Now Abel offers the fat of his firstborn of his flock. And he gets killed by his brother out of jealousy. That's a bit intense, eh? A bit hectic. And then Janine mentioned this as well. Verse 7 refers to Noah. Now this guy must have had a serious amount of faith. Because God just spoke to him and told him what was going to happen. He didn't present it to him on a big flat screen TV and give him all the details that, you know, it's going to be so many mills of water. And he just said, this is what I want you to do. Noah heard the word of God, and it was enough for him. And his faith inspired him to go and build this massive ship to house elephants and donkeys. And don't know why the mosquitoes got on there, but come on. He had a serious amount of faith, even when his friends started questioning him, going, dude, you are nuts. Just imagine that in our modern day context. Your neighbor asks you permission to start building an ark in his backyard because God said he should. You would probably think he needs to go to the loony bin. But Noah's faith kept him, and he carried on building this ark. And he was commended for it. It says this, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is keeping with the faith. And it goes on, the rest of the Hebrews, and we can carry on and go and read every single story. But I want you to go and do that and see how awesome God is. That if we have faith in him, absolute confidence in him and what he promises, he will deliver. Even though for most of these oaks, they never saw the fulfillment of the promises. They saw it from a distance, across the river. Now friends, what does this look like for us today? Because we have all these stories of these faithful men and women. What does faith look like today? What does an absolute confidence in God look like today? And I believe before we can define that, we've got to look at these stories with a bit more detail. When we pick up these stories again, we notice that these oaks were willing to listen to the word of the Lord. And not just listen, but hear. And then one of those Facebook responses this week, when I saw it, I was like, thank goodness there's somebody out there that reads their Bible. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Friends, if you want to grow in your absolute confidence in God, you've got to hear the word of the Lord more often. Hear him speak to you more often. And the Bible is one of those ways. Some of these oaks struggled a bit with hearing God. One of these oaks was Moses. Remember his story? God calls him and says, listen, Butch, you're going to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt. And I got permission to do this, and I hope Moses doesn't kill me one day. But I can imagine Moses standing next to God going, you're joking, right? Okay, it wasn't that funny. But anyway, let's move on. Moses will definitely clap me for that. But it was in here. Moses was like, you're joking, God. I stutter. And you want me to go and do what? Lead Israelites out of Egypt? You want me to go and speak to Pharaoh? Come on. And God says, yes, Moses. You will lead my people out of Egypt. Moses listened, he heard, and he faithfully responded to the word of God, the call of God on his life. And so what would Moses do in 2017? What do we need to do in 2017? We need to hear the call of God, the call of faith in God this morning. And you could be here this morning for two reasons. One, you've heard the call of God years ago, and you're here to be reminded about the actions that call inspires and encourages. Or you haven't heard the call of God before, but you've heard something, and you're here to just check it out. You want to check out how these Christians that have heard the call of God live out their lives, and maybe that's something you're interested in. And if that's you, I'm so excited that you're here, because there's about 150 people here this morning that would love to have coffee with you and tell you how awesome this God is that we serve, and that how he has changed their lives in a good way to, yes, go and lead Israelites out of Egypt, to go and live bold lives for Christ, to go and do something different with their lives. Any person in this room who who has heard the call of faith in God would agree with me that the God of Abel, Enoch, and Moses, the God of all of these men and women found in Hebrews 11, our God is the only God who loved this world that much that he sent his Son as a gift to us so that by his death we could have an eternal relationship with him. Friends, we need to have absolute confidence in that gift of Jesus Christ, because we can only see the fulfillment of that promise when we die one day. This morning, do you want eternal life? Not just this life on earth. Do you want eternal life like so many people in this room have accepted? Well, then this morning, hear the call of God, firstly. And then, for those who have accepted his eternal relationship, we know that it comes with terms and conditions apply. You have faith in God, now so what? What happens now that I have faith in God? God calls us to action. He calls us to do things in this world. And friends, before we get to the nitty-gritties of what God wants us to do, let us first just discern the reason behind our doing. If we want to have faith in God and do really good things on this earth, only to get our names put on a wall somewhere or in a book somewhere where someone goes, hey, that oak was great. If that is your primary focus, I want to encourage you that for these men and women of faith in Hebrews 11, that wasn't their focus at all. Their focus of their absolute confidence in God was to please God and God alone to the very ends of their lives. Even though for most of them they never saw the fulfillment of God's promises. And so that should be our primary focus this morning and for the rest of our lives. Our absolute confidence in God needs to drive our pleasing of God. You're probably going, but how? How do I firstly grow in my absolute confidence in God? Well, we know that. It comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So the more you study God's Word, the more you're exposed to His Word, the more your confidence in Him will grow, and yes, the more His challenges of your lifestyle will grow. Remember, as little children, we like pray, read your Bible, pray every day, that kind of thing. But as we grow in faith, God calls us to greater things. And we can give you a long to-do list, but we're not going to. Because Jesus didn't do that either. When the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked him, what is the greatest commandment of all? What is the one thing I should do to please God? The best and the only way. He responds and says, you know what? These two things hang, all the prophets and all of the laws hang on these two things. If you want to know how to please God with your faith in him, do these two things. And who can recite them for us? Who knows them well? Anybody out there? What are the two things we need to do in order to please God? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So friends, if our absolute confidence in God grows and he challenges us to do something, he challenges us to do two things in this world that will please him into eternity. Love him with all that you've got and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And in so doing, your faith will please God. Your actions will please God. If we read verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it will shock us sometimes. Because it says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And at first you go, that's quite strange, isn't it? You've just challenged us to have absolute confidence in God. And now you're saying that without that absolute confidence, it is impossible to please him. But it's quite logical, isn't it? Let's bring it back to our natural lives. Do you think it's possible to please somebody you don't believe exists? Not at all, eh? How on earth are you going to please your wife if you don't know her at all? Or your husband? How on earth, then, are you going to please God if you don't believe he exists or you don't know anything about him? So verse 6, then, is true. If you don't have any faith in God, you cannot please him because you do not know him. And so firstly this morning, we need to make sure that we have absolute confidence in God. And if you don't have it, hear God's word this morning. He wants you to have absolute confidence in Him because He sent His Son to die for you so that you can have absolute confidence in Him. And the more we grow in our faith, the more our actions will mirror our faith perfectly. Our actions will honor the one we believe in. So friends, how do we do this in 2017? How do we honor the person in whom we believe? How do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And how do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Paul writes in Colossians 3:17 that whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? How can we do that? Let's get back to Jesus' two commands. Love God with all that you've got, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what often helps me fulfill that commandment, as I ask myself, is this the most loving thing I can do or say to God right now? Is this the most loving thing I can do or say to this person, to this other human being? And if the answer is yes, well then, awesome. I am pleasing God in what I do and what I say. If the answer is no, oh Lord, help my faith, help my confidence in you grow more and more so that I can honor you more and more and please you more and more each day. Friends, when we do this, when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, when we love God with all that we've got, our actions honor our faith. Our actions bring glory to the one in whom we have faith. And then the challenge is, we've got to do this until our very last day on earth. We can't settle down. We can't retire in terms of our relationship with God. Hey? We can retire in heaven. And I want us all to retire in heaven because I want us all to hear these words from God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have kept the faith. You have run the race all the way to the end of your life. As you have honored me on earth, I will now honor you in heaven. Welcome. Here's your house. Here's your fast car and the golf course. Hey? That's what God wants for us. And so what is faith? Faith is the absolute confidence in God that kind of drives us and inspires us every day to please Him to the extent that at the end of our lives, God will welcome us into heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Be encouraged when you go and read Hebrews 11 this week or in the weeks to come. Be encouraged when you go and read the stories of Noah and Moses and Abraham and all the other heroes of faith. They are men and women that were faithful. May they encourage you to remain faithful to the end at all cost, regardless of what you're going through and regardless of the fact that you might not even see some of the promises fulfilled in your life. Keep the faith to the end. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've dedicated a whole chapter and a bit more to encourage us to live faithfully for you. And even if we're struggling in our faith, Lord, you have also given us direction and instruction on how to grow our faith by the hearing of your word. So help us, Father, we pray, that we would become more faithful every day. Honor you through our actions by fulfilling the two great commandments that you've given us. And in so doing, at the end of our lives, when we meet you face to face, that we could hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. So encourage us, Lord, now to go out and live out our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.